Yes, we're in my basement. I brought a light down. It's kind of mood lighty down here. We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
Two buddies. Our parents are upstairs.
Actually, this is actually going to be really nice because with all the insulation and stuff, it helps
dampen the sound.
Yeah. And the carpets help too.
Yeah.
This is going to become our podcast area.
Wow. Caitlin set up her basement with her outside furniture. So we have a love seat with an ottoman, an extra ottoman. I put a TV down here. There's a high top table over there. What?
Does the TV get used much?
Not again, like once a week.
Oh, okay.
But it was getting used not at all in the bedroom.
Right.
I'm not really a bedroom TV watcher.
Yeah.
High top table. I have some artwork on the wall, if you can see it. I painted it when I went to a bachelorette party at a paint and sip. Mm-hmm. I hid dicks and boobies in it.
As you do.
And some of them aren't even really hidden.
Right.
You have to go look at it afterwards, but my grow tent is to our right, my 8x4, 4x8.
With your ducking. Thank you.
Dave, my duct work is here. He did a wonderful job. Did I tell everyone?
You talked about it.
Yeah, Dave came through when he heard me talking about putting duct into my grow tent for heating purposes in the winter. We're like, I can do that. So we came over, went to the store, bought some duct stuff.
So your heating system is just full on attached to your grow tent now? Or your grow?
I mean, it's a hose that goes into the hole,
but whatever heat's coming out of your furnace is going directly into your
grow tent. And there's a cover on it right now, so I haven't been letting any heat in.
Have you noticed that makes the tent dry? I'm just curious.
Well, okay, that opens up a whole can of worms, but first we should start the podcast. Hey folks, welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Christine.
And today
We're not talking about duct work, but...
duct work, the whole entire podcast episode. we're just on a tangent before the episode starts. What are we talking about today?
How to prune your collection.
Ooh, yeah, cutting back your collection, how to cull what you already have so that you have less, and kind of the mental block that you run into when you're like, oh, I can't get rid of that.
Yes, it's mostly going to be us telling you it's okay.
Yeah, and we'll go over our various personal experiences after we finish this tangent.
The beginning tangent.
Back to the ducks. What were we talking about?
Have you noticed if it's...
Oh, okay. So the ductwork goes into the tent. I have a cover on it, so it's not... And the furnace is on. Uh-huh. It hasn't been, like, you know, blasting heat into my tent yet. Uh-huh. However, I have the tent set up with my regular four panels that you and I have. And then I put... My birthday present last year from Brandon was a metal shelf from Target that I put inside my grow tent finally. And I have shop lights, two shop lights on each shelf that I have for like props and short stuff, which it's funny. I don't really have short stuff in this house. So like I'm going to definitely have to move some of those shelves around so I have a little more wiggle room in between plants and stuff. So if anyone's listening and you have tall plants, don't buy the 5 shelf. Get the 3 or the 4 shelf. Your plants are going to get too tall and then you're not going
to live. Or just plan to only have like 2 shelves on the 5 shelf, you know? Like I've seen people do that where if you have the interchangeable shelves, you just don't put them on.
They're all set evenly and like nicely right now. And I haven't been in the mood to
That's why I haven't, like my brain, I wanted to do the IKEA shelves because they look nice.
But you can't move them.
But you can't move them. And they're only like 12 inches high. And I'm like, no.
You really have to go with what you have and what I have in there, which is the adjustable metal shelf.
Yep.
Not the plastic one that's a set height, not the IKEA one that's attractive, but a set height. You really need the adjustability.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Yes, I know I can do that. No, I have not done that. I will eventually. Oh, I actually just skipped a shelf. I have plants on the bottom shelf. The shelf above them is empty. And then the shelf above that has the light hanging on it. Mm-hmm. So like that's how I get a little bit more of my distance in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me being lazy and not wanting to move the shelf. So those lights are warmer. Those LED lights run warmer than those panels. So it has been heating up the greenhouse just a little bit. And it's noticeable when I open the doors and I get blasted with that like nice, humid, warm air.
Cool.
So satisfying. I just need like a bigger grow tent so I can put a hammock in there as
10 by 10. 10 by 10.
I have room. I could do it right here.
You could.
We could podcast in the tent.
Nice.
That'd be hilarious. Like, hey, we're broadcasting from Kaylin's plant tent.
Then we could do video podcasts and like of the backdrop.
The backdrop would just be reflective of my alarm.
Well, and your plants.
Yeah. No, the plants are against the wall.
We could rename the plant. We could rename the podcast. I don't know.
Rough Around the Plant Tent.
Or like coming at you live from.
Yeah, if we did a video YouTube series.
Yeah.
I'm not into it. You can. Do you want to edit a video?
Around the Hedges.
We're rough and we're around the hedges. Oh boy. Okay, tent's been staying a little warmer. Haven't needed to open up the thing yet, but like it's been 40s and 50s outside.
Yeah,
it's been pretty warm still. So once we hit, you know, 30, 20, like Minnesota definitely gets down into the zeros and the negatives for some portions of winter. I will probably definitely be having to pump some heat in there. So
yeah,
that'll be a whole nother thing, having to figure out my vent situation.
What's
for
the
that much heat?
Coldest.
So we had some carpet remnants from when we recarpeted the upstairs when we bought the house. Mm-hmm. And so right away when I had this tent set up my first year, I knew that we had to put carpet underneath the tent because it was a little bit too chilly in there.
Sure.
For the most part, it will not dip below 60. Mm-hmm. And this is unheated. The basement, for the record, it's unfinished, but it does have insulation put up, but it has cement floors. Mm-hmm. So I put down the carpet under the tent, which keeps it just a little bit warmer. I didn't want to go through the effort of like going out and buying the purple insulation foam.
Oh, sure.
So I was like, I don't think it's going to make that big a difference. And I definitely didn't want to put the tent on pallets.
You'd be surprised how much that foam makes a difference.
I didn't want to have to step on it.
Because I did it to my garage last year. I put like you could get foam inserts put on your garage door to like keep the garage warmer. And it works a lot.
I mean, sure. I just didn't want to have to step on it.
Sure.
Was the big thing. And I also didn't want to try the pallet trick because I didn't want to have to. Oh. I mean, could have just bought some wood to lay on top of it. But like, whatever. I didn't want that extra step into the thing. So the carpet worked just fine. Now we have the duct. Hopefully it's all good. I will have to figure out my venting situation. How many vents have to be open for how warm it is. And even if I have to go in and like make the vent only open halfway, like I'm prepared to do that. It'll be I have a little temperature gauge in there to monitor things for me. Not fancy like Mackie and have it hooked up to my phone or anything.
Right.
Just come down and look at my little monitor.
Phase two.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Now that we finished talking about that.
Let's get to the episode.
All right. Kaylin here. Christine's here with me. We're going to read. No, I've had a couple of listeners who say they can't tell us apart.
I know, but it's just like same two people from the beginning of the episode.
It's also Kaylin. That's Christine. Okay, I'm Kaylin. Kaylin. That's me. This other one is Christine.
Yeah.
Some people think we sound alike. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't. But, you know, I've known you for like 10 years. So yeah. More than that. Actually. Okay, the episode. Plants. Getting rid of plants. Okay, so picture you have a bunch of plants and all of a sudden the hobby's not quite as fun as it used to be. You're not excited for watering day. You're like, oh, I can't believe I have to go take care of these plants. Like, hey, maybe you should get rid of some of them. And sometimes it can be hard. I know I've definitely been like, well, I paid money for this. Yep. I can't get rid of it. My current solution for that is actually to just sell it. And generally the plant needs to be looking nice enough for it to be sellable. Which usually in my case, I've got my care down enough that, yeah, that is the case. It's fine. I can just sell it. But like, you know, when I was getting out of all the calatheas I had, I definitely had to improve those and make them not look like shit if I wanted to sell them.
Right.
So like, I remember I had to do that with my Dottie and my Princess Jessie, which just meant, and then I think my White Fusion, just growing them up a little bit longer. And then once they looked real great, I was like, ha ha, bye. But that for me, that was definitely like, not the gateway, but like, it helped me get over the mental hurdle of I don't want this plant anymore. And I'm not going to feel bad about it, but if I get my money back for it or make a little bit of money on it, then by all means, let's get rid of it.
Right.
And the beautiful thing is once I've done that, I'm really not sad to see it go.
No.
Like the couple times on the podcast we've talked about White Fusion calatheas, I've been like, you know, that was a really pretty plant. I did really like that. You know what I don't like about calatheas? The heartbreak. Mm-hmm. I got sick of that, which is why I had to get rid of the Princess Jessie and the Dottie, because like, they would look good for 3 months and then something would happen and they would die back and look like shit. And then I would get them back to, you know, pretty looking state and something would happen. And I was just like, I can't do the heartbreak. I can't do it. But yeah, it definitely was hard for me to get rid of plants, especially
at the beginning.
Right. Like stuff I didn't even get, like I didn't even have to pay for it. Like I picked a chrysanthemum out of the garbage once.
Right.
Grew it as a house plant. Like, right. And like, this is something I still deal with. Like, if I've cared for it long enough, I feel a duty and a responsibility to it. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, my croton, that was one of my original like 6 plants in my first plant haul from IKEA. I would feel bad getting rid of him simply because most likely whoever would take him on would kill him. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not the one killing him, no one can kill him. I'm not going to let it happen.
I would say that that'd probably be another little hurdle that you either still have or have had to get over is what is going to happen to this plant if I give it
your sentimental attachment. Yeah. I just, him and I have been through so much and he looks so good. Okay, right now he could look better, but we're getting there. He started growing now I grew it. Backstory, I put him in the ground outside this summer. I put him in the front yard. I did amend the soil that I put him in, but I didn't amend enough of it, and I also didn't keep him watered enough, so he was getting lots of light. However, he wasn't staying moist enough, so he gave me some small leaves. Mm-hmm. And then I dug him up, brought him inside, put him in nice, moist potting mix, stuck him under a soul tech light, and now he's growing. He's happy. He's going to be great. But he endured that summer of torture from me. I really did think I would be better about watering, but I just... He was in like the front yard where the old ash tree used to be. And I was just like,
well, and it's so different when plants are in the ground and the water just immediately goes away. You know,
it's so weird. It does. Mm-hmm. Like I've been having to water my I moved some perennials around outside and because I moved them in the fall. They're all cut back. The plant on the top of the soil does not exist.
Right.
It's all the root mass below. But you have to keep them moist and ideally water them every day until the ground freezes.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this before. I've never, not that I can think of, actually like lost anything in the process, but don't want to start now.
Right.
So I've been trying to keep on it. Water all the things. Thankfully it rained the last 2 days. Didn't have to go in the, didn't have to go out there and water them. But
it's gonna snow tomorrow.
I'm like, I just watered them yesterday. I don't possibly have to water them today. And you go out and you check the soil. And yes, you do have to water them today.
Mm-hmm.
What? Mm-hmm. It's just like the ground doesn't really retain moisture. No, and like mulch happens or mulch helps, but.
But like it's ground, like it's just so expansive. It's just going to immediately go down into the groundwater. And then,
yeah, it goes down and down and down and down and down if it's well draining. It's not sticking around on the top.
Right.
Now for next year, Caitlin, if I did decide to put the croton or any other houseplant in the ground, I would put them in a bed that gets watered.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say I put in new plants in this section of the yard. It would be good to put the houseplant in that section where I'm going to be watering this regularly or at least close to the hose so that I remember to water it. So right. That would be a good key point if for any reason you're listening to this podcast about getting rid of plants, but you're also thinking about putting a plant in the ground for the summer. Tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I, you know, if he wasn't going to make it too, I wouldn't have been like sad. Like he did get his bark nommed on by rabbits. And so like, if he would have died, I would have been like, man, that was an experiment and I did a thing and now it's
it
over.
It didn't work. Yeah.
But like, I dug him up and I put him in a pot and I didn't let him freeze. And now he's happy. And I am glad I brought him in.
That's good.
We have a sentimental attachment. But also I did try to sell him in a couple plant sales this summer and everyone loved him. But however, I was very clear that the care for this guy, you have to give him a ton of light and you can't let him dry out. And nobody was willing to take that on. So nobody bought him, which is okay because I still have him. But like, I know that if I was to sell him to someone who's like, oh, that's a cool looking rainbow tree, they're going to take him home. They're going to kill him because they don't understand how to give plants light.
Right.
And like, it's not like a philodendron where you give him less light, he's okay. Like, you give this thing less light and you keep watering him, he's gonna lose all his leaves, you're gonna think he's dead, and you're gonna throw him away,
right,
regardless of how much you paid for him. So like, I just know that that's his fate if he goes away. Like, how many people do you know have crotons?
Yeah, you.
Just me.
Yeah, that have successful crotons. I mean, I know
people buy them,
everyone,
and then they
get
rid of them
for
or they
one
die.
Of their first like 10 plants, or they always show up in like arrangements.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, and then after that, you know, they hang out for 6 months tops.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
I think people keep fiddly figs alive more than they keep crotons alive.
People keep calatheas alive longer than they keep crotons alive.
That's kind of weird to think that crotons are harder than calatheas. Because you think of calatheas, you immediately think of spider mites.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess if anyone needs to listen to this episode later, it's me. but no, I go through phases where he does bring me joy. And then I'm like, you know, he's feeling like a burden. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? No, I really do like him. And I'm at the stage right now where I really like him.
Yeah.
He's got a nice like standalone spot in my dining room under the soul tech light. I'm digging it. It's a nice, like, it's a super rainbow pop of color in that corner though.
Right. And I would say, as we talk, you know, experience, my, if anything, I might be a little too extreme when it comes to pruning.
Pruning or getting rid of
plants. Just getting rid of stuff, because I don't have the issue of, I used to have the issue of, oh, I spent this much money on it, I, you know, regret. But I have, what's the word? Brainwashed myself in the, well, it was the experience of growing the thing, you know?
So who cares? And it's done what it set out to do.
It was the experience of growing it. So I don't care how much I spend. I'm just throwing this away. But with that, sometimes I have found, my neon pothos is a great example. Like after I've chucked something or sold it 3 or 4 months down the line, I'm like, oh, I miss that.
Is the Manjula also one?
No.
You don't miss him?
No. I miss my neon pothos.
I think I got cuttings. No, you gave me one of them.
Yes.
And then I had him and he looked amazing for a while. And then I don't know what happened.
I think I bought like three or four. And
you had
I put,
a bunch.
And I put like three in a pot and gave you one of the other ones. I think that's what happened.
Mm. I do need some neon pothos cuttings, listeners. If any of you come into my house lately, bring
and
me some
I
neon
would
pothos
also
cuttings.
Take some. But yeah, so like
love a neon pothos.
Yeah, and but that's part of the thing. Like, is that just the cycle of growing plants? Is
it could be.
Come back to maybe it's me learning the ones that I truly actually do want. But yeah, so how to come to terms with pruning? Or I guess maybe we should start with when do you decide you need to prune?
I would say, one, if you're unhappy. Two, if you're overwhelmed with the amount of plants you have to care for. Three, if stuff is not bringing you joy and looking like shit. Or if you just realize you're spending too much time on plant chores and you need to cut back.
Yeah.
Also, like along that vein, like if you like start a different job that takes up more of your time, or if you start a new hobby, or, you know, all of a sudden you realize like, oh, I want to be outside instead of watering my plants all the time.
I want to like go see people.
I
want to
live my life.
Yeah. And I think you brought up a good point of we're kind of like parallel two roads here, or maybe even three, of between as far as quote unquote getting rid of said stuff. Selling is an avenue. Chucking it is very much an avenue. But the third one, like I've been doing, I'm resetting a lot of my stuff.
So you're
like,
throwing away most
I'm getting rid of like the main bulk of the plant and
but
either
keeping
a cutting or keeping
or
a corn.
A division.
Yeah. So like my dragon scale alocasia was outside all summer. It got super huge and full and pretty. Brought it inside for the winter. I could not give it a good light spot. Sorry.
Christine,
it just got some.
Me, do you have dragon scale? I was like, yeah, you want one? I was like, no, I'm getting rid of mine. I just want to back up. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So
I love that for
it,
you.
It was outside. It got full and beautiful and pretty. Inside, it went to the bottom of the list as far as lighting goes. So it was in a bad spot and it started to look like shit. And so when I was watering this last weekend, I looked at it and it had a big honking corm coming out from the top. And I was like, all right, so I just took that, put that in moss, tossed the mother plant. I was like, I don't want to fight with it. I don't want to fight getting it back. I don't want to spend all winter looking like hot garbage, taking up space and room and energy.
Yeah.
So put it in moss, put a corm in moss, sealed that up. I'll look at that in April and go from there.
I
did that to two Hoyas.
Hoya, which ones?
Calistophylla, which that one is a little bit of a heartbreak because I found flat mites on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, so Calistophylla, I actually went back and took a cutting from like further back in the plant, put it under hot water, scrubbed it.
Are you concerned with other plants that were around him?
The only other plant that was around him that I cut back was my Rosita.
So those two?
Yep.
All right, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, man, that sucks. Mm-hmm. And the Calistophylla is like kind of a harder one to grow, but you find it
But
easy.
No.
When you hit all its points, it's good.
And that's the thing. And part of me is like, I know I'm really bad at sharing pictures, but I do take a lot of pictures of my plants.
Yeah, Christine, show us what that dragon scale looked like outside this summer.
So there's always that, like, for me, part of it is, yeah, maybe I won't ever get this Calistophylla back, but I know that I did it. I know that it looked cool. I know I was able to get like 5 million peduncles on it. And even if the pictures are just for me, like I don't need to show it off, but I like.
It is fun to go back through your old pictures and be like, oh my God, remember when this looked like that? I was.
Remember when I host had two nodes and that was it?
Yeah, you're like, I don't know if this is going to make it. And it made it. And it really made it.
It really made it.
I was looking back through pictures for some reason or other, and I was doing the same thing, or I was like, oh my God, look at what this little plant used to look like this. And like, man, it brings me so much joy to see how cool my collection was, like back in my apartment before I moved into the house. Like my double row of macrame with my plant stand.
And we got to talk macrame at some point too. That's an episode topic for later.
Putting like as many plants as possible in my 8-foot long southwest facing window, like. Looking back at pictures, man, that was majestic.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I'm a little jealous I don't have an 8-foot long window that faces southwest anymore, but like whoever lives in that apartment.
Great place for plants.
God damn, you should have plants. Yeah.
My...
I should mail them a letter and be like, hey.
new tangent. My boss just got bought a new house and she was showing me pictures and there's a massive, it's currently a 3-season porch. And I was like, you need to turn that into a 4-season porch because it's south and west. On, you know, the main side is south. The other side has west and then obviously east. But it's like 14-foot tall windows.
Depending on how many windows they have, that would be a very expensive transition.
I know, but she's up for it.
Perfect.
Because we talk plants, and I'm like,
exploit this loophole.
I was like, Kiki, think of all the plants you can make. Think how good they'll look. Think how tall. Like, Kiki, I'm like, you know what a fiddle leaf fig is? She's like, yeah. I'm like, can you imagine it that tall in this space?
Is a tree?
So she's it's definitely on her list now to convert it. And she's also a carpenter, so she'll be able to do a lot of it by herself. Yeah.
And then make sure you get the good windows, and then you probably have to pull off the sheetrock and insulate it better. I know all these things. Just because I've asked them myself with my construction-minded partner. Okay, we're talking about plants.
Yeah,
starting
so
plants over. I've done that in the last year.
Yeah.
The just like taking and cutting, selling whatever's left. And also like I'm an opportunist. So when like Gabby in the plant group is like, my mom's looking for a rattlesnake calathea. Mm. And I was like, you know, my rattlesnake calathea is getting a little big.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, hey, Gabby, your mom can buy my plant, but I'm taking
a little
offshoot.
Bit off of it. Yeah.
And I did that. I took a little division. I think I took like an eighth of a plant, sold the rest of the plant. Gabby's mom loved it. It bounced back real quick. My plant's doing great. It's a normal size in a tall six inch pot. It's a 1 gallon pot.
I've definitely done that too, where like I'll post something and be like, I am selling this, but I will be taking a top cut, or I will be, you know, taking corms off of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. People are usually like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
I mean, maybe if you post it and say I'm taking a top cut, that'll be more likely. But like, I have to wait for that stupid bottom cut to grow a new growth point before people want to buy it from me.
Mm. But what I was going to say is don't feel like you have to sell it. Don't feel like you have to make money off of
it. Oh, you could also just throw it away.
Just throw it away.
And you actually feel slightly less bad about throwing away plants if it goes into a compost.
Nah, well, to be fair, I don't have compost to compare it, but
hey, you
like,
can bring it to my house. I'll take your compost.
In the garbage bin.
And Christine, remember that Friday we pulled out of my compost?
Yeah, and that's growing really nicely. It's attiliating a little bit. I need to
get
it.
Friday it wants a lot of light.
I gotta figure something out.
Was that for Adrian's mom?
Part of it's gonna go for Adrian's mom.
You have to mail that to North Carolina?
Nope. Adrian's going to visit in North Carolina, so I'm...
So he's.
I haven't told him yet, but he's gonna be taking a plant with him on the plane.
You can't put it in soil, though.
On the plane?
Yeah, it can't have soil.
I thought that's if it's crossing. Like,
pretty sure.
I think state to state it's not an issue.
I'll look.
You
honestly would be better off mailing it. Do you need a heat pack? I'll send you home with a heat pack.
Well, she could wait till spring, too. It wouldn't be the end of the world.
No. Yeah, because like the fry deck is definitely not one you're going to want to unpot to fly on an airplane and then pop back up.
Yeah, that thing's going to be pissed off.
Yeah. Be happier getting mailed across the country.
Maybe.
Okay, getting rid of plants. Kaylin has definitely... So like, I grow big plants. I grow huge plants. And then I'm like, okay, something's got to give here. So like, most of the time I will... Like my Monstera Albo, it was 8 feet tall. Mm. I chopped the top 6 leaves off. They had aerial roots up the wazoo, put them in a pot, kept it moist. It's finally actually growing now. It's November. I cut it in beginning of September. So September, October.
Mm.
2.5 full months for me to see growth after I chopped that top cut, which actually makes sense. That's fine.
Yeah. That's actually not too bad.
It's still a great looking plant, even with those two beat up leaves from taking it to the state there.
I need to chop mine up again.
Again?
Well, I just need to.
Yours done being shitty looking?
Nope. It's not.
It's still shitty looking.
It's still shitty looking. So I have 5 right now.
But they're all
I'm turning into Maria.
Or are they plants?
One's a plant. 3 are rooted cuttings that are starting to grow.
Are they all separate or are they put together?
They're all separate.
Okay.
So there
Which
might
one
be...
are you going to keep?
I don't know.
Oh. Are you going to sell the other ones or are you going to give them away?
I don't know.
$10.
They might end up in the garbage. I don't know.
Yes, be the that
world,
person.
Yeah.
Throw away the elbow. Okay, so I have a compost bin at my house, and there's nothing I love more than throwing plants in it.
Feed your compost.
I am feeding my compost. Actually, I really like taking shredded paper out there because it's usually junk mail. That is pretty satisfying too.
Get those political ads in the junk mail.
It can't be glossy though. It has to be non-glossy. Otherwise you can't use it. So that's the fair. Glossy stuff gets recycled. For instance, my Gigantium lived in my patio door, was taller than the patio door. It was just too big. I had already cut it back like one summer and I was like, we're starting over. Okay. We're going to go smaller. So, the problem with that is every single node on that plant will grow a new plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, my brain's like, well, I have to make a new plant out of every single node. No, you don't. I slowly sold some cuttings and then it was getting to almost like overnight freezing temps and I still had a bucket of cuttings in water that had all rooted just sitting in my driveway. That's where it ended up. And I was like, okay, this is time. These aren't getting sold. They're not getting given away. I don't want to make a post about them. Like, I don't want anyone to come to my house and have to coordinate a time with me to pick these stupid things up. So I just picked up what was left of them. I walked it to the compost, threw them on top. Boom. Done. And then the butt cut for the Gigantium, also same thing. Took it out of the pot, dumped it in the compost, It then proceeded to live for 2 months. I didn't water the damn thing, but all of its little dudes sprouted little baby plants, and I did not go out there and chop them off and propagate them.
You just
them.
Let it grow?
I let it do its thing, and it was actively growing, and then frost hit, and they all died.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know. What if circle they come, of life.
What if it comes back?
I doubt it, but that would be hilarious. Yeah. The pumpkins do no grow idea. In the compost, but that's the seeds. I have 2 pots of Giganteum in my greenhouse right now. Mm. I have a pot of tiny top cuts. I have a pot of, I think they were like 2 mid cuts. I haven't decided which one I'm keeping yet.
Right.
I'm probably leaning towards the top cut because it's going to look nicer faster, but they're so much smaller than that plant used to be.
Right.
But hey, guess what? It's a cycle. That plant, I grew it up multiple times. Mm-hmm. I grew it attached to a tree one summer.
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah, I've been through the cycle, and I just wanted, you know, first, I wanted my patio door back. Second, I had seen how I grew it the first time around, which was better than how I grew it the second and third time around.
Right.
And when I say time around, I mean I literally grew it up.
From nothing?
From a regular plant. Above the patio door, chopped it back, did it again.
Right.
So, like, I've had 3 giant versions of this thing. The first was definitely the best.
Yeah.
It's a lighting thing, so I need to prioritize this light a little bit more so I can get tighter internodal spacing and larger leaves.
Sure.
So, that'll be a whole thing when I get to it. But you want to know what else? What other plant's been really big right now? Tycon.
I was going to say, any of
them? It's a Tycon. He hasn't put out a new leaf since, like, September.
Ooh.
So he's adjusting to the lesser light.
Sure.
He is growing one right now, but, like,
mine's putting out
that's
one
a big plant. Yeah. I'm already looking at him, like, when do I want to chop you?
What are you going to do? Yeah.
And then, yeah, also my brain is like, do I sell cuttings? Do I make them into plants? Do I just throw them away?
Can you imagine? Because, like, people don't have that size that they're offering. It's always like teeny tiny little baby things. Just take a top up and sell the bottom. Don't chop it up at all besides the main cut.
Oh my God, can you imagine how many growth points that thing would cut off if I took like the top 3 leaves off?
Yeah.
Maybe I should keep the bottom cut. See, this is the problem. This is the thing.
Kaylin likes bottom cuts. I like top cuts.
This is the problem because I'm talking about these things and instead of getting rid of one giant plant that's in the way, I'm making it into 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 smaller plants that I then have to deal with for the next 3 months.
Don't do it.
So this podcast,
like me,
this episode,
take the top cut and throw it away. throw away the Tycon, Kaylin.
This podcast is this episode is specifically geared to just throwing it away and helping you out not to do what I do, which is make 10 more plants. But that would be a special plant.
that is a special one. I mean, I definitely have a couple that I'm like, no, I'm not just gonna toss that. I'm gonna try and get something.
You know, okay.
Out of
in
it.
The past, my view was I need to propagate everything in my house, instead of, you know, just throwing it away. But like, there are definitely lesser things where I'm like, okay, this will take so much less energy on my part if I just get rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my golden pothos, which was like my first official plant of my plant hobby. I was gifted a cutting in a cute little wine bottle by my friend when I moved to my apartment, and I grew this pothos in Leca. It was in an 8-inch pot in a macrame in the window, vines down to the floor.
Mm.
It was awesome. And it was like, it wasn't just like a couple vines. It was like a whole curtain of golden pothos. It was amazing. I found spider mites on him.
Whoops.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm not spraying this thing down for spider mites. There's no way. And
not
I was
buying
like,
all the cucumber, or sorry, the...
That was before beneficial bugs.
Sure,
If I had gotten if I had gotten beneficial bugs, I would have let them eat all the spider mites on that plant. But you know what I did?
Hmm.
I took that pothos and I put him in the garage. It was winter.
Oh, I remember this.
It was winter. So it took him 3 days to freeze and turn brown. And of course, in that 3 days, I'm like, am I regretting this? Should I bring him in? It's not too late. Do you want a cutting? And I just, I didn't do it. I was totally overwhelmed. I just left him. He died. And then I put him in the, I feel like we had the compost at that point. Walked him out to the compost. But like, as hard as it was for me to just make that call, it was also one, the right thing to do. And two, once I had to stop looking at his carcass in the garage, I was just so relieved that I didn't have to treat for spider mites.
Right.
I didn't have to do anything because I just got rid of the plant. And like, it's a golden pothos. I can ask my friend who gave me the original cutting. I can ask her for another cutting anytime.
Right.
I can post in the plant group that I'm willing to pay somebody for a golden pothos cutting, and I will get 60 people offering me golden pothos
for like $1 a node.
I mean, that's great. I would pay that. I would pay somebody $5 for 6 nodes if I wanted to grow. Like if I had a timeline and I wanted it this weekend, somebody would come to my aid for $5 for 6 nodes on a golden pothos.
If they aren't just like, just take it.
Yeah.
People that is definitely one that when people have like asked for different pothos, I've just been like, I have these six. I will just give them to you.
Yeah, just come over to my house and don't make it an inconvenience.
Have 10 nodes of each of them because I just need to cut mine back.
I do adore that about being a plant mom of excess plants.
Yeah.
That I can just do that for somebody.
Yeah.
And okay, now that I'm doing it, and I have been doing it for like the last couple years, like if it's something of like, even if it has some value and I just have a lot of it, like taking a cutting of a Hoya, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Just have it.
Yeah.
If you're nice to me and you're respectful, like, I'll just give it to you. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, back in the throes of, like, plant hobby and everyone was kind of gatekeeping plants a little bit, like, the people who were stingy about those things when they had an excess, I really look back at them with a furrowed brow.
Well, and Hoya specifically, because pollinator is a fantastic example. Why that plant was ever $50 a node is beyond me. Because they grow, like, so well, actual so weeds. Yeah. They are... I would argue a beginner Hoya. Like, they are easy.
I just gave a pollinator to somebody and he showed me pictures of it and it's growing. And he was like, look, it's growing. I was like, fuck yeah.
My outer elbow is looking so nice right now.
Do you have them all potted together?
No. That's my plan. I was okay. Talking about that.
Yeah, I didn't know if you did it or not.
Not yet.
Yeah. And like, okay, when the plants were that crazy, that popular, that expensive, like, I did not have an excess of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't have the ability to just, like, give things away. But, like, had I been in my current position during those times, like, you know, I'd probably try to get some money out of somebody. But, like, literally when I'm overwhelmed with plants, like...
Just take it.
Right? Especially knowing how many plants you... Like, if you cut up a big plant and you make a bunch of smaller plants, even if you sell them for $10 a pop, you can make $200 just from 20 different plant cuttings.
But if you don't have that energy, just throw them away.
Just way to bring it back, Christine.
Just get here rid of I am it. It's okay. Throwing shade on they will regrow. Plant worst case, or do what we've started to do and give them to other people that are friends so that okay. When you do get rid of them.
That's your plant insurance plan, and I love that we have that.
I know I it's not feasible so for everybody. Much.
In Kaylin and Christine's plant group, we just
we have passed kinda, around.
We
kind
of
so
just
stuff.
Give people stuff, and like, oh, you want a cutting? Here you go. Or like, we're at a thing, and you know, oh, I have so many of these. Why don't you just take this? Oh, do you want any money for it?
No.
Only if you feel like it. Well, okay.
Just give me a cutting of this thing someday.
Jen's a problem because I'll be like, just take it. And she'll be like, I need to give you money. And I'm like, no, you don't. And then she'll just Venmo me. And I'm like, God damn it, Jen.
Pam did that.
Pam? How dare you?
I was like, Pam, I'm going to give you all these Hoyas. Just pay shipping. And she sent me more. And I was like, no.
No.
She sent the podcast more. So thank you for the donation to the podcast. But
thanks, Pam. We love you. Do you want to be a guest on our podcast? Come talk on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pam's giving me some stuff and I love her for it. And Pam will get free plants from me if I can ever give her free plants.
Yeah.
I totally schemed with someone who will not be named to get Pam an elbow this summer. No, Pam, I still will not tell you who it was.
And I know now, too.
I told Christine. Hey, you know, when you're part of a plant group and you've got plant friends, people just give you shit.
Yeah.
And it's all good. And I love that because, yeah, Christine asked me if I have a dragon scale. Great.
Oh.
I get Hoyas for Christine. Like, if I'm ever like, this thing has bugs, I'm getting rid of it. Can you bring me cuttings? Actually, it was my pollinera.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if I fuck this up, will you give me cuttings? And she was like, yeah. Boom. Done. You know, like, I've shared begonias with a bunch of people. So, like, if my begonia ever bites, okay, I say begonia like I have one if I have, you know. My favorite 10 begonias. If any of them ever bite the dust, somebody somewhere around here has some part of that plant where right. They can give me a cutting bag,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And that goes along so with really the, great. Like, if you ever, like, regret getting rid of something, too. Like, having...
Did you say there was a philodendron you needed something back of? Oh, was it Florida Beauty?
Florida Beauty, now that I've seen how you've been able to grow it, I'm like, well, maybe someday I'll take that again.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I don't want it right now, but maybe in a year.
Yep, maybe in 2 years. Yeah. My El Salvador is the one I killed, so.
I'm sad about that for you.
If you got an El Salvador for me and it's growing at some point, maybe consider me when you take cuttings.
Yeah, give it back. Give some back.
Instead of throwing it away, maybe talk to me about it.
I sold my Sunrise and fucked up and didn't take a cutting.
That's an easy one, though, to get.
Yeah, I didn't get a cutting back from the original person who bought mine, but I did get, Catherine came through and gave me her whole plant,
yeah,
which I then made a bunch of plants from.
Catherine did that to me too.
Yeah,
I think I was buying cuttings from her and she gave me the whole plant. I'm like, Catherine, you did not need to do that.
I mean, if you're getting rid of it, whatever. Yeah. So, you know, the moment Catherine's like, hey, I want some Sunrise cuttings, could I'm like, you got it, girl. I got you,
got it, dude.
I got you. I'll make you this plant. Make you this plant so hard. Isn't Matilde, did you get rid of that one?
I did. Gabby has it. But Gabby has it.
Well, Gabby has it. I have it. I have them tilled.
Yeah.
So I could easily, you know, make you a plant off that too. So it's nice to know that your plant isn't gone.
Oh, and serpents. Actually, serpents is one because I roasted my serpents.
Do you want some serpents cuttings before you leave today?
Maybe next time. Maybe we're going to my house next time.
Then you have to remember that to remind me to bring them.
Yeah. Send yourself a text right now.
I love advanced scheduling text messages. Oh, there was a plant I was thinking of. Oh, Jen. I sold Jen some of my string ofs. And at one point, I completely got rid of all my string of bananas. And that one is one I'm a little sad about.
Same.
But guess what? I told Jen, hey, hit me up with some cuttings. Because I think I gave her cuttings initially, and that's her plant. So, like, and she might have actually started a pot for me.
Nice.
But, like, the time is right. I want to grow a string of bananas again.
I want bananas, yeah.
Yeah, I want bananas again. All I currently have is actually...
I like how we're going back to, like, the basic ass plants.
Oh, I love them, though. variegated string of hearts and variegated string of pearls are the only string ofs that I have right now. I do have a silver glory propping in the tent, but I think I'm just going to sell that. Mm-hmm. Off to somebody once it starts looking a little nicer. I love those plants. I love string of bananas. I love my string of pearls. And, you know, I do feel a little fancier because I have a variegated one. But, like, that's actually another story. I tried to switch my string of pearls, which was getting a little bald up top when I was growing it in soil. Tried to switch it over to Leca. It was Leca. It was when I moved in the house. And so, like, the stars didn't line up. I ended up killing it slowly until it was dead. But I had propagated some of it before and gave it to my friend Natalie. And I was like, hey, Natalie, please make me some variegated string of pearls the next time you take cuttings. And then, like, you know, I waited a little bit. She totally did it. She handed it off to me. It was great. I have my variegated string of pearls back. And it is a child of the original one that I had. Mm-hmm. I'm very pleased.
Yeah.
So, like, that's great. I didn't have it for a while. It didn't bring me joy. I got rid of it. Had to throw it out because I rotted it.
So,
and then the time was right, I brought it back.
That's a lesson in itself. When you're pruning, you can get it back at some point. Take your insurances. I mean, I know we've been talking about that this whole time, but, like...
Yeah, it's not a forever thing.
It's not a forever gone.
Just because, like, this plant...
Plants aren't going
anywhere.
This
pot of plant right here isn't bringing you joy doesn't mean down the road you can't grow it again.
Yeah.
Getting rid of plants, it's okay to throw stuff away. You will feel better
throw
about it.
Throw it away.
You can always grow it later.
Right.
You know, like, okay, let's say your caramel marble looks like shit. You probably don't want to just throw that away, but you know what you could do.
Throw it away.
Find a friend who wants to rehab it.
Foster that thing.
Pawn it off
that
on
is,
them.
Okay, so
and then that friend can then eventually down the road give you a cutting once they've not killed it.
I was going to say, within reason, your mindset of what's going to happen to this plant if I sell it or give it to somebody is good because, yeah, I'm not just going to give anybody a caramel marble. I would give you a caramel marble.
I would give you a caramel marble. Oh, Christine. That's friendship right there. You know, you kind of did give me a caramel marble. It's just, you know, reverted.
It's just a Pluto. Yeah.
A Pluto. But hey, if that thing ever did start spitting out variegation, you'd be the first to get baby off of it.
Sure.
Yeah, man, just throw it away. If it's not bringing you joy, just get rid of it. We have been there. We have been in the struggle bus of, should I keep this for, let's say 2 months? Do you really want to stare at that for the next 6 months until it turns around? Or do you want to feel better immediately by getting rid of it?
To kind of talk about, like, how to decide when to prune, I kind of go through by watering cycle. So if I'm watering stuff and I notice a plant and I'm like, you look like garbage, or I'm tired of, you know, moving you around, I'm tired of watering you, I'm tired of you, like, having a pest every other time I see you, I go, okay, one more watering cycle.
Do you make a note of that, or is it all just mental?
I just kind of mentally remember.
Okay.
And I guess that kind of works on its own too, right? Because so, like, if next watering cycle, if I don't think that again about that plant, that means I'm keeping it.
Oh.
But if it's next watering cycle and I go, you still look like shit, you still have, like, a bug on you, you still, like, I'm still tired of moving you around. I say all this as I'm like, I'm tired of moving my Billy, but I'm not going to get rid of that thing. But that's kind of how I do it. If it's not going to be like immediate, it's like 2 or 3 cycles. So I'm not super like
3 strikes, you're out, bitch.
Yeah. It's not like I'm not throwing shit immediately. I am definitely thinking about it for a month or two.
Yeah.
But it's too. But that's kind of how I gauge it. Like, if I'm continually, every time I go to water it, I'm like, why am I moving you? Why am I looking at you? Like, that's how I kind of decide.
This was definitely my problem when I was, you know, 250 plants deep, and I was like, watering's taking too long, you know, not all of this brings me joy. Like, I definitely had to get in the mindset of stuff needs to go.
Right.
So, like, For me at the time, my brain cycle was like, let's sell them. Let's get them looking nicer. But like, you know, there is definitely a time when you have a shitty looking plant, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not bringing you any joy. Like, for instance, my fry deck. Mm-hmm. If you, I don't know if I have shared a photo of what my fry deck looked like in its heyday, but picture a 12-inch pot full of tiny little baby.
You're talking green
velvets.
Okay.
Allocated to Michael Luciano.
I was like, yeah, I don't think you've ever had a fry deck that big. I haven't had a fry deck that big.
I haven't got it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I think they're unhappy with the amount of light they're getting.
Yeah.
They're getting that much light. So
get over it.
Right? Enjoy it. My green velvets. There were so many plants in the pot. They were all big. They were giving me these big, tall, deep green velvety leaves with striking white contrasty veins. Just sexy. Mm-hmm. And then I know I had spider mites. I know I cut the whole thing back. And then eventually I was just sick of looking at a sparse pot with sad little leaves. And so I made the decision I was just going to split the whole thing up. And I did put all of, I think I found root rot on it too. It just
was it in like a, or soil?
No, it was, this was after it had, I think I've always grown that in soil.
Sure.
Except for maybe right away. It wasn't bringing me any joy. It was too big of a pot. The plant looked too sad. I, you know, split it up. I did harvest all the corms because my thought was when I went into that pot, my thought was I'm going to take the largest, fattest corms it has, sprout 8 of them, pot them in a plant, and just start over and get rid of the rest. I do think I kept most of the plant. I did propagate it, sell off stuff. I could have just thrown it away, but I didn't. Hmm. I don't think it was as dire as I thought it was. I don't know. I'm a little bit of a masochist and I'm just like, I'm going to do this to myself because it's fun. Plants are fun. But okay, guess what? I was so much happier with that thing split up.
Right.
And starting over from like a little pot of like three little babies.
Right. I mean,
it looks so much nicer just as a little guy than like, a big sad guy.
Baby alocasias are always, in my opinion, the best.
They're not bad.
They're so cute.
I think I sold the good looking green velvet and I kept a sadder looking green velvet because I know I have a 6-inch pot in there that's not looking so good. Mm. It's not going to die. It's just like, you know how baby alocasia in their like 3-leaf stage, they just stay there for like a prolonged period of time. We're in that stage. So we just need to get out of it.
Like we're deciding if we're going to live or not.
No, it's not that they're deciding if they're going to live or not. It's they're like, after they get 2 to 3 leaves, they're just like, well, I need that little extra boost, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it's always funny because
they expect you to slip them a 20.
Yeah.
Before they start growing any more leaves and getting
usually
bigger.
What happens after that, I notice, is like they put out like a massive leaf compared to the rest of the
plant. Or they'll put out like a bunch of leaves all at once.
Yeah.
It allocates are weird like that, whatever.
It's like my dragon's breath just did that.
My dragon scale is about to start growing.
Yeah.
I think. Because that's also the stage he's at.
Right.
Oh, God damn. Love to love them. Okay. Any last advice on getting rid of plants?
Just throw it away.
I really do just strongly advocate throwing it away, even though I've been giving examples left and right of how I kept the plant. If you just get rid of it, you'll be like, wow, that was a load lifted off my chest or whatever. 10 out of 10, definitely recommend. I am going to make myself come back and listen to this goddamn episode the next time I'm like, oh, I should keep this. No, Kaylin, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. This is past Kaylin telling you to just throw it away. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's easier to tell people that.
Right.
I will always help my friends out when they're like, what should I do? I'm like, throw it away. Like, Cassandra. Hey, Cassandra. Messaged me. She's like, I composted a bunch of my work plants that weren't sparking joy. And like, congratulations. High five. Like, really good job. I love that you did that. And guess what? You immediately feel better. As soon as those plants are out of your sight, you immediately feel better.
Yep.
Trust us on this. Yep. Just throw it away. And Kaylin, just throw it away. Make that into a little sound bite and just send it to
turn
me
that to the episode. Turn that into the title. Kaylin, throw it away.
Kaylin, throw it away. Kaylin, you don't need it. Put it in the compost. I just
in
picture
the middle of winter.
I mean, I walk out there in the middle of winter. Yes. Yeah. It's the Kermit the Frog meme where he's got the hood on and it's all dark.
Oh yeah, yeah. Something dark's in.
Yeah, throw it away. Okay, plant of the week. What?
Can my plant of the week be something that's sitting in my garbage bin right now?
Dude, fucking do it. This would be the episode.
No.
This would be the episode.
I can't.
Ironically, you could.
No, I'm going to. I had decided my plant of the week is going to be the dragon's breath allocated. Yeah. Have you hopped in the Discord and seen the picture I sent?
I haven't been in the Discord. I'm so sorry.
So I have
been preoccupied with shit.
Four baby dragon breath right now. But one of them just put out its, and this is like the first like true dragon's breath leaf I've gotten.
Yeah.
Out of the plant. And it's maybe 12 to 14 inches long. It's not super wide, but it's super long. I'll have to go measure to verify. But yeah, it is a happy dude. It was definitely one where like I looked in the cabinet and was like, holy shit, when did that happen? Cool guy. Oh, I like him. Plant of the week.
Alocasia will totally do that to you too. Mm-hmm. Or they'll just pop out of nowhere and be like, hello, I look amazing. Like, what?
Here's a leaf.
Here's a plant. How do I search in the plant of the week?
Remember what I told you at the beginning of the episode?
Ooh, Christine, didn't I text you my plant of the week?
Maybe.
I'm gonna look this up. You guys, I'm so sorry. I'm wasting your time. Oh, maybe it was in the group chat.
Oops.
Did you find it?
No, I just found the text. You like shrimp?
That works. Okay. My plant of the week is going to be my Philodendron Borsowicksii aurea.
Nice.
This plant gets a special commendation anytime he doesn't do what I think he's going to do, because he is a diva.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dramatic little bitch, but he's not like as dramatic as some plants, but like this is definitely a harder philodendron to figure out. So it's a tree form.
Mm-hmm.
He had a nice little trunk. I decided, again, wasn't sparking joy, but like I didn't want to get rid of him. So I took a top cut. I sold the butt cut to Catherine for a low, low price. And I think it had enough arrow root, so I just put it in soil right away. But I think I had two or three leaves. He just put out his first new leaf since his chop. He's in my tent. He's getting probably 800 foot candles for 12 hours. So like the perfect amount of light for a philodendron. But he put out this new leaf and it was kind of scraggly and it was kind of small. And I was like, oh, great. Like, it makes sense that he's going to put out a shit leaf. But I checked in there and like the leaf, it's not a shit leaf. It's getting bigger. It's filled out a little bit. Like, it's not wrinkly. It's almost like a perfect new leaf in like the right size that I would expect it to be had I not chopped him. So like, mm-hmm. I'm jazzed. Usually like I've never cut the plant before. I've never cut the plant. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if he was going to be pissed at me and be a stick for a while, but
mm-hmm.
I'm so happy. So he gets to be plant of the week because he brings me joy.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for my results after my chop. So congratulations, little buddy.
Yeah.
Yay. Thanks. Good job, plants of the week.
Cool.
All right. Well, I hope if anything, we could give you a little bit of confidence.
Throw it away.
To just throw it away. That's really just the end goal of the episode. Like, yes, there are things you could do, but also, like, it will make your life so much easier if you just get rid of the plant that's not sparking joy.
Right.
You're obligated to know when to keep it. So, like, I don't know why you're saying that you need this trailing philodendron if you don't like trailing philodendrons. Just get rid of it.
Right.
Sell it to somebody, throw it away. One of the two. Anyway. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this was helpful to you. Future Kaylin, I really hope you take past Kaylin's advice when you come back to listen to this episode when you refuse to take your own advice. Okay, cool. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you in the Discord. Pop over there to see pictures of our plants and whatnot.
If we remember to post them.
We'll get around to it. Just tag us and bug us. And
yeah,
then we'll
Pam
do it.
Did. Pam bugged us because we haven't posted in a minute.
I've been busy painting my house. I'm so sorry, Pam. I do intend to make up to you. Anyway, cool. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been Rough Around the Hedges. You know we like to keep it rough over here. Yeah. So see you next week.
Bye-bye.